You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you backstage and behind the scenes with the stars, creators, and industry leaders behind Broadway's biggest hits. I'm your host, Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to legendary theater producers Steve Jones and Cheryl Phillips about their sure-to-be-legendary new project, Avatar the Musical. Cheryl and Steve, thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having us, Gordon. I mean, I was so glad of you to call us. It wasn't unexpected. I mean, seeing the fact that we have a great show, the fact that you were nice enough to let Cheryl come along is just really, really nice.
Thank you, Gordon, for inviting us. It's wonderful to have someone with such integrity be interested in our little production.
Yeah, integrity. We like that word.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we could start by just having you both tell us how you got involved in the project. And did you know right away that you wanted to produce something this epic, a show this epic?
Well, I was so happy to be working with these writers again and to know that they were creating something that was so extraordinary that people would flock to the theater in droves to come and witness this telling of the story of what I call the blue people.
which is great because it's yellow and black. But listen, what's really great is the fact that I knew we had a hit on our hands from the first moment that the concept came to us. And the writers, wanted to work with me, love me, think I'm great, know my record. I mean, come on, my record. But your record,
quite frankly, Steve, is not exemplary. However, we are glad to have these writers on board because they are Tony Award-winning writers. And we are Tony Award-winning producers, although
yes,
I don't know how
are.
Steve ever made that category.
Well, I have more than you, but that's not the point. The point is that we all have Tonys. And the point is that the writers, we are in 2021. We are in 2021, and we must have all perspectives. And so they wanted to bring in a lady, and we were like, find one. And then Cheryl showed up. So we're all here, and we're all bringing something wonderful to it. And it's going to be a hit. People are going to love it.
People are going to love it. They're already buying tickets in droves. Although we're waiting for Steve's part of the contribution to the production monies. We understand that he's having a little trouble getting some of his people on board. But all the people that I have in my camp are ready, willing, and able to put their money where their mouth is, where their mouths are, if you will. I just got off the plane, off of Red Eye, with having a meeting with Cameron, and we spoke about how we can further push this idea of having this particular story told on stage. He's all for it. He's all in. And his money is where his mouth is.
Well, the funny thing when it comes, sorry, didn't mean to cut you off there.
Please.
When it comes to money, my money is being put into the one thing that this show needs, marketing. I mean, have you seen the posters in Times Square? I mean, we actually had flying banshees out there picking people up and bringing them to the theater. And since we're name dropping, I mean, everybody knows that when the original movie was presented, It was bought by this wonderful little company. You may have heard of it, called Disney. And so I, of course, one of my dear friends, Mr. Schumacher. We spoke to each other. He calls me Mr. Jones. I call him Mr. Schumacher. We talked about it, and we are already working on not only putting this show on tour, but putting it in the parks where it belongs. So not only were you able to see this on Broadway, but when you go to one of those amazing parks in Florida or Japan or in Hong Kong, you will be able to see this show.
And you do realize that there'll be lawsuits abound if we dare to have people flying with banshees, flying around in the air with banshees. Please, are you mad?
Think of all the roller coasters. This is not the place. Not the place. Gordon, you have a question?
Well, I beg to differ. The people need to know what's going on. They need to know
Cheryl, please.
They need to know that this could be a really bad thing to have banshees flying around. Can you imagine your children? Would you put your children in the hands of a banshee flying around Times Square?
Yes, I would. And here's why. Ladies and gentlemen, you have sat through generation after generation of new spectaculars. It started with Oklahoma, the first time that we had opera brought to the musical theater stage.
Then opera is one thing, but
with J.C. Superstar, you had rock and roll. Then we flash forward to Rent, where they had microphones on their faces. And then we went to Phantom, where we had pyrotechnics on stage. Then we have Lion King. All the wicked people are flying. Spider-Man, scratch that. Don't talk about that. Listen.
Please don't talk about Spider-Man.
The fact that we can now go, we can trace our theatrical steps from Phantom to the Harry Potter musical to Aladdin, which I had something to do with, by the way, and all the way to our show now. That's what we're talking about. So people flying, people being a part of it, that's what people want nowadays. It's not just sitting back. They want to be a part of the action, and our banshees will make that happen. And trust me.
Our banshees will bankrupt the production of this show. Banshees are known to have poisonous poop, and they are known to have very sharp nails. And I personally would not risk putting my loved ones in the hands of something that's that toxic. But
we're not going to carry your loved ones. There's no way those banshees will get close to your loved ones. We're talking about the wonderful, normal families that come see a show.
Well, maybe then we should have all of your loved ones being carried around and flown around by banshees.
They already are. My limos are about to be replaced by just flying banshees. Trust me. When I come through opening night, I can't wait for them to pick you up and drop you
in the middle of Central Park.
It's going to be fantastic.
In pieces.
Safely.
Yes.
You know, all this discussion about what a spectacle this is going to be, you know, there's a lot of talk. You did mention Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, and I feel like people in the community are talking about the fact that Avatar could replace Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark as the most expensive musical ever made. Is that true? And are you keeping, how hard is it to keep the budget under control for something?
You know, it's one of those things where you have to really be on your game, and your people, your accountants, your managers, knowing where all the money is going.
You have to hope that you don't have someone like Steve Jones who's been known to abscond with the funds.
Ladies and gentlemen, you and Gordon, and I say ladies and gentlemen, and I use this, you know, loosely for, you know, this wonderful lady here. I had in my early career as a producer a couple of moments. Now, we all start off some places. Certain things don't always go the way they should go. But over the past few years, I have had nothing but hits, nothing but hits to be in the right place. And sure, you know, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. But listen, here's the thing. When it comes to Steve Jones, hit is what I get. Now, no disrespect to Cheryl, but Cheryl has had a hit. Most of them are mediocre things, which is why I brought her on board. So her camp.
Excuse me, but you were brought on board by Cheryl Phillips. Let's get the information correct. Cheryl Phillips was here first.
I brought the writers, my dear.
I brought the writers, and without the writers, you don't have a show.
But the writers knew they could not get Avatar without me.
That's not true.
I brought the director.
You bogarted yourself into this situation.
I brought the star.
Well, we'll see about that. I've been speaking to Cameron Diaz as well about replacing your star.
Well, you can talk to Cameron. Mm-hmm. Listen, the problem is we all know, and this is we should finally get this out of the way. Cameron and I had a little problem one time when we were trying to produce Gremlins for his wonderful London stage. And he didn't like the fact that I said, he wanted to bring in some puppeteer animatronic things. And I said, no, children, bring in children. Let's use children. And
yes, but do you want children to be flown around with banshees? I don't understand your logic in that.
No, this was from Gremlins. And so he's still mad at me that our little deal fell through. But listen,
Through because you couldn't come up with the funding. Put your people together to get the funding. That's not true. To get even a demonstration show.
That's not true. Cameron owns the theater. The fact is, London is Cameron's town. So we had to move to New York. If we were in New York City, we wouldn't have had that problem. Cam owns the UK, and that's fine. So you can kick it with Cam. I'm going to come over here where the real theater is. That's right. I said it. Where the real theater is over here on Broadway. But like I said, Gordon, the show's going to be an amazing spectacle. People are going to love it. We're going to have everything, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the creative team you put in place, both the writers, the Cheryl that you mentioned, and the cast, Steve, that you mentioned. First of all, tell us about working with Bobby and Kay and what you feel like their music and lyrics really bring out of the story.
Bobby and Kay have a unique ability to suss out what's really important in a story and get the characters to display in full real time what is important. What's the important message in the show? They have a wonderful way with words and with music, and together they make a great team. And I have every confidence that they will make this the spectacular show that it needs to be. Cameron and Bobby are a great team. They know what they're doing, and we're looking forward to hearing and seeing the words, the music, the majesty, and the magic of this show, as told by these two spectacular writers.
And then you brought in Thomas Navarro to write the book, I understand?
Yes, I did. I brought in Thomas because...
Thomas because they have history.
I brought in Thomas because when we first started working on the script, when Bobby and Kay started working on it, Bobby and Kay were having a little issues. And the script wasn't that strong. The songs were good, but the story itself wasn't where it needed to be. So I brought in Thomas, and Thomas fixed it. And now their little Trump variant is great. The three of them have come up with a great story, and everybody's loving it. But thanks to Thomas stepping in to doctor the script the way it needed to be doctored, you know, sometimes you need to bring in help. And
Thomas is there to doctor himself.
It's hard to put a wedge between the writers. There is no wedge between the writers if the writers put a wedge between themselves.
But Thomas is trouble. He's really not that proficient.
Bobby is very happy with Thomas being there.
Oh, well, I'm sure Bobby is, because they had history, as you and Tommy have had history. Tommy's been around, if you know what I mean.
Tommy's written some wonderful things.
Wonderful things, but none of them have charted on Billboard charts. And none of them have Grammys, or none of them have awards.
No, Tommy's just written some Pulitzer's things. He's just written some great novels. He just worked for companies like, I don't know, DC Comics. He's worked for some companies like
Simon and Schuster.
Just because you don't know what's going on in the world right now.
People don't read comics anymore. They're looking at cartoons. Children are looking at TV and videos.
Listen, Thomas stepped in because he understood the world that we were trying to build of Avatar. And he helped Bobby and Kay. And they are so grateful for it, especially
they are not entirely happy with it. It's caused a lot of dissension. But anyway, Tommy's he's maybe
I'm so glad that you're putting our family laundry all on public.
Well, honey, it's already public. Yeah. It's already public. Everybody knows about you. What were you going to say, Gordon?
I was just going to change the subject to the cast. Let's talk a little bit about.
Let's talk about Stavros.
Yes. I'm hearing he's the new Aaron Tveit.
This man is everything you want in a leading man. He's one of those guys that, you know, when you watch those movies about musicals or about auditions, and they walk through the room and all of a sudden, like, birds start shining and stars appear. That's what happened when this man walked in the room. Even this one, who can't even be moved by a set of abs, was moved by this man.
Is that you? You mean
How
you?
Dare you?
Stavros. It doesn't take a set of abs to move you, darling. We all know that. Stavros is very talented,
and he will be the star you're talking about. You can pretty much give the Tony now.
I agree with you, Steve, that Stavros is going to be a very important part of this success of the show. He was kind of overlooked by his girlfriend, and so we almost didn't have Stavros. But I'm very glad that it worked out that he was able to display his talent and his
it was my decision to hire him. We were looking for a leading man, couldn't find one, and Stavros walked in and said, that's the guy.
Stavros was a shoo-in.
And also, that's what happens when you're the lead producer. You can make that decision.
Darling, you are not the lead producer.
My name goes above yours.
No, it doesn't. Never. Yes, ever. Ever.
You should look at the poster.
Well, then the posters will come down and it would be changed.
I paid for the poster. Remember, marketing, that's me. I did that. That's why. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Speaking of names on the poster, I feel like the biggest name on the poster, at least right now, is Emma Olivia, of course. She's a great big Broadway star. She is also sort of a legendary handful. How's it been going working with her?
You know, there's
Emma Olivia is a very talented performer, and she can be a bit of a pill to work with, but we are working things out with her. She's very concerned that Stavros has gotten all this attention. But to be sure, the writers are going to give her plenty of work to do and plenty of star turns. So she shouldn't be worried about a thing.
Let's just say this. When the 11 o'clock number rolls around, you will never, ever forget about the woman that we're talking about right now. The world already knows how great she is.
But she's not always legendary for her work.
Once that 11 o'clock number hits, you will put her in the same category as the Fosters, the Lapones. You will put her in the same category as the McDonald's, as LaShawn's. You will put her in the same category.
But you will
category
never put her in the category of someone like a Lilias White, for instance.
Well, no.
She does not have that versatility, and she does not have that capability.
We never said that we would put her in Lilias White's category. That's a whole different thing. Lilias White is a freaking legend. We're talking about everything from Disney to Tonys to television. You cannot put a person in the category with Lilias White.
Well, this is true.
Can I finally tell the story?
However,
Cheryl is mad.
She's a pill to work with.
Cheryl brings up Lilias White every interview, and she's really upset. She's really upset because Cheryl tried to get Lilias for her show.
But Lilias was busy.
And Lilias chose me. Lilias chose me.
Oh, that will never happen.
Lilias and I have known each other for years.
Yes, she's my friend.
And Cheryl and Lilias had an issue with a man. We won't discuss it. Cheryl doesn't want to discuss it. And that's why Lilias doesn't do our shows. But she keeps trying to kiss up to Lilias to make Lilias feel good. Lilias is never going to do your show. And you need to really just get over it.
You are really hilarious. Okay, you're very, very, very well mistaken.
Oh, my God.
Lilias White has nothing to do with this conversation. I'm just comparing. I did bring it up because I want you to know that the person that you're speaking of is not in the category of all of those people.
No.
She's good, but she's difficult to work with. And that becomes a problem when it's time to put the show on and to get it running consistently and
the
to have people in this who are not worried about her not showing up.
She's going to show up. She's going to be there. When the lights turn on, you will see her. When the lights turn on, you will see our leading man. And when the lights turn off and the curtain comes down, you will see a standing ovation, nothing but applause. And I guarantee you, I guarantee you every review will be positive.
Well, if you pay for them, they will be. That's true.
Yes, Gordon.
Speaking of opening night, which is what you get after, which is where reviews come from, you have some pretty big plans for opening night, I'm told. tell us about, it sounds like you're transforming Times Square. Give us some details.
I am. You know, I went to see the Cursed Child musical. And they had, you know, the first show ended and they took us to this little, you know, hotel and it was beautifully done. After the show, we went back to the same place and it was magically changed. Between the first two shows, it was magically changed. I said, if you could do this with a building, we can do this with Times Square.
And that's why we're planning on having a big parade all the way down from Duffy Square, all the way down 42nd Street to celebrate this wonderful occasion of an opening night of a show that will be as legendary and long lasting as Cats.
Very true. Very true. It's going, all the stars are coming. It's going to be great. We like I said, we have the Banshees. We have a parade. We have a band. We have, you know, it's almost like, you know, when you go to the street fairs that are on 8th Avenue, just imagine that, but actually classy, you know, with real good food, not that crap they serve down there in this fried Oreo, but like real stuff. It's going to be great.
I wonder, as we all look forward to that, I wonder if we could wrap up just by having you both tell me a little bit about why you think now is the right time for Avatar the musical and for the story it's telling and why it fits on Broadway right now in particular.
I think it fits on Broadway right now because people have been locked up under quarantine, locked into their homes and looking at Netflix or Hulu, and they're craving a live experience that will really titillate their senses. They are craving something that they are somewhat familiar with, but that will enhance their understanding and their appreciation of live theater. We are going to give the people something so spectacular that they will never forget and that they will come back to see again and again. And we have all these plans to have different casts become different characters and continue this show for a very long term to give the people what they need, which is live theater in front of live people with tricks, yes, with some animation, yes, with some things that, you know, will be spun to make them wide-eyed. Yes, we'll have some of those things, but we will have genuine, wonderful actors and performers to give the people what they need. They need live. They need life.
And also, I will just to add to that, there is a there's a part of our story that speaks to the underdog. You know, with what's gone on in 2020. With all the things that all the different causes that have come through with people protesting, with people feeling that they're not being heard from different sections of the world. This show does that. You know, what's happening in Avatar, our lead character is also going through that, is also fighting through that, trying to be heard, trying not to be misrepresented, trying to show that they not only have a voice, but they're a person and they need to be heard. And not only heard, but respected. And so when people who are going through what they're going through all of this time see this story, they're going to say, that's me. They're going to say, I feel that. I get where this is going. And then when it's all said and done, and the curtain comes down and the parade comes out and people see it, we have a grand marshal for the parade. And I couldn't think of anybody else better than the Tony Award winning James Monroe Iglehart. He will be in a car riding down the street, just waving and throwing stickers that say Avatar. We have these great stickers that say Avatar, and they're going to be great. And everybody's going to grab one. There's sunglasses that say Avatar on them. There's going to be stuffed banshee animals that he's going to throw. They're going to all be in the car. It's going to be fabulous.
It will
I'm
be
telling
epic.
You, this is going to be epic.
It will be epic. It's epic. Going to be a really great, great reopening of the experience that is theater. And with all the technology that we have at our fingertips, we're going to make this an unforgettable time.
And egotistically, egotistically, and I don't like to be egotistical.
Oh, no, never.
Egotistically,
never you.
I am really looking forward to the look on Jeffrey Sellers' face with his mega hit Hamilton when he finally feels what it's like to be number two.
Well, I'm not here to be revengeful as some
revenge.
People are.
It's not revenge.
But I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to pleasing the people and getting our
and that's right
and
there.
Pleasing
that's
the
what,
people and making sure
matters.
That the people are happy.
That's what matters.
And that they see themselves in these characters.
Yes,
it's very
and
important.
The look on Jeffrey's face.
Well, I can't wait to see the show and the look on Jeffrey's face and whose name will be on top on the poster. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a great day, everyone.
You too.
Bye-bye. Talk to you later, Steve.
Oh, good. Please don't call me.
That was Cheryl Phillips and Steve Jones, the two producers who will bring Avatar the Musical to Broadway, if they don't kill each other first. You can find past episodes of Stagecraft and subscribe everywhere you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the Broadway Podcast Network, which is a great place to find more theater for your ears. I'll be back soon with another new episode. Until then, find me on Twitter at @GCoxVariety. Thanks for listening, and see you soon. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.